comedy podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together. It's a certified fucking good time.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm rolling, baby.
All right. Welcome to Are You Into Bus Stuff? The only comedy podcast about roadway deaths.
That's the pod. That's it, baby.
Do you like to laugh? Do you hate roadway deaths? You're in the right place.
Do you like to have fun? Are you funny? Do you want to be funny? Then you need the pod. You need us. Oh God. and then it all comes crashing down.
Definitely need someone. And we're here. Not a lot of people are here for you in this day and age. It's a very, very alienating world, but we're here for you. We are here for you.
It's just so lonely out there.
I'm so lonely. Quick personal story before we dive into transportation content. I was a bit of a loner. I was spited in love in high school, and Ben and his girlfriend once made me a mocking card talking about how lonely I was, and it said, "I'm so lonely," and it sticks with me. That pain has never left my heart.
I'm sorry to hear that. I guess my mom is right in that I've been a bad friend to you for what appears to have been the whole time.
Elizabeth, help. He's got me held hostage. He forces me to do this podcast with him. Help.
No, baby, we have traffic deaths. We have plenty of traffic deaths. There's so much news to talk about. I don't even know where to start. I haven't even prepared any. But I uploaded all 2023 traffic deaths to the website. So now if you go to Roadway Report and you click around, you'll see there's 40,000 new deaths. Let's hear it. Let's hear it for 40,000 more. Am I right, folks?
How many 9/11s is that?
That's 10 to 15 9/11s. Somewhere in the range of 9 to 11.
Between 9 and 11 9/11s. That's a pretty...
Depending on how you count it.
I think that there's something in that. I think that they want us to crack this code. They want us to unravel their evil messages. And we're on the case.
And that number doesn't include, you know, like the first responders. You know, I'm a first responder to plenty of tweets. So I've got the sticker on my car.
I'm a first desponder. I become despondent very quickly. I'm usually the first.
Oh, let it out, Benjamin.
You're let the first spondent. You spawn first. You spawn first. You are not a gooner. You are a spawner.
I don't come more than the average person.
Yeah, you do. You come faster and first. Always.
That's so sad. I feel called out by how accurate that is.
Wow. I was just trying to like stand up for myself like your mom asked me to do.
No, I'm not a gooner, that's for sure. More of a spooner. Boomer gooner still cracks me up.
Boomer gooner is good. I did enter a sweepstakes. It was a pretty fun little sweepstakes where I would have, if I won, I would have gotten to go to Union Station and do this like free throw shootout with the other people that won the sweepstakes. And then if I won the free throw shootout, I would have had the text of the sweepstakes said, "You must be available to immediately leave Union Station to go to the airport to fly to Oklahoma City for game 2 of the Nuggets Thunder series." and I did not win. I would have been on a plane right now to Oklahoma City. That would have been a lot of fun, but...
Wait, did you lose the free throw shootout?
No, I did not get to participate in the free throw shootout.
Yeah, because if you had gotten to that point, you would have won.
I think I would have done okay, yeah. I can ball, so...
For the folks at home, Lucas can ball. Like, no joke. Like, I'm atrocious at basketball, but Lucas is... He's sound.
I'm no Chachi.
That guy was a good shot.
He could pull up from half court jump shot.
He was a legend. He was Steph Curry before Steph Curry was around.
That's true.
He was at the local basketball court.
Yep, Fernbluff courts represent. I feel like those guys would enjoy this podcast, actually. If you're listening out there, Matt or Chachi or Daryl or Ryan or Simran, please send us a message. I miss you guys. I think about you guys pretty often, dunking on Ben and going toe-to-toe with me.
No one posterized me. I'm sorry. Not a single one of them could dunk, okay?
No. Daryl, on a really good day, if he wasn't on drugs, could dunk, but...
Damn.
He was mean, man. We were so mean to Drew. You remember?
Yeah,
that?
We were. It's true that everybody was mean to Drew, myself included.
Mm-hmm. And that was. I mean, and that was that the status quo for like your whole elementary school time growing up? Was he always the scapegoat?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, he got weirder as time went on. I don't know.
Yeah. I can't ever really remember
their family's cool. Their family was really cool.
Yeah. I can't really remember any particular reason why everybody was so mean to him. And, you know, I've always been a softie. So I was always like, guys, come on. Or at least, you know, kind of silent when other people were being shitty. But I would laugh too. But I can't like place a reason why. I just remember Daryl calling him that one day where Daryl called him Garrett. Just kept calling him Garrett and he freaked out. He threw the basketball on the ground and just like screamed.
Enough about the good days. Let's talk about the bad ones. Traffic deaths. They're happening in your community now.
They are.
What are we gonna do about it?
Yeah, our main story that we'll dive into here in a moment concerns my community, and we'll circle back to a tragedy that happened just last month. Like two blocks from my house. Really terrible, terrible tragedy. Somebody biking across town, resident, just trying to get across town, obliterated and killed a couple blocks from my house. And it's crazy in this world, and we'll reflect more on this as we get into his story, but it's crazy to me that this violence is so pervasive. If you look at Roadway Report, especially now that 2023 data is there, there are deaths in every community, and obviously disproportionately in Black and Brown communities and poor communities, disenfranchised communities of all kinds. But we don't act like these tragedies are happening, right? We don't grieve for these people because we're so divorced from each other as a community. We don't know our neighbors. They've completely divorced us from our political will and our connection to our community. And I don't think that's cool.
Okay, we're back. Sorry, my roommate is home.
Good.
And we're back on the pod.
Good. Well, should we dive right into Colorado
Let's
Boulevard?
Let's talk about traffic deaths.
Let's do it. Okay, so in today's main story, we're going to talk about the Queen Strode of Paris on the Platte, which is Colorado Boulevard here in Denver, Colorado, home to me as well as Earth's greatest basketball player, not me, Nikola Jokic. And we definitely get an adjacency bonus for the breathtaking Rocky Mountains. I've lived, worked, and commuted the greater part of my adult life here, and it's a place that is truly dominated by cars. Colorado Boulevard, which is one of the main thoroughfares on the east central part of the city, has the highest grossing Target store in the United States, if that gives you any idea how many cars there might be along the road. At its widest point, which is right by that Target, it is 11 lanes wide. I'm trying to think if there are any surface arterials that are that wide in Austin. Are there?
11 lanes?
11 lanes with turn
no,
lanes.
Fuck no. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
throughput, but.
Is Palmer count?
I guess so. This is so much closer to the heart of the city than Palmer.
Yeah, no, I mean, no way. Yeah. There is grade separated freeways.
Right. But no, this is a strode, a surface street that cuts through the heart of the city in Denver. It was first
Palmer,
designated.
Palmer's like 8 lanes with turn lanes and everything.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would say that's comparable to Colorado Boulevard, but Colorado cuts through the bulk of the population of Denver. Not maybe the highest population density, but definitely the highest quartile of density. It cuts through like half of those areas. So
this is crazy to look at.
Yeah, look, I recommend you look at it on the map, look at it on Roadway Report. It was first designated State Highway 2. It was designated long before Denver developed as a city. It cuts north-south through the metro. It moves tens of thousands of people per day, probably hundreds of thousands of people per day. It's just a highway that cuts right through an area that packs almost 15,000 residents into every square kilometer. We'll link to Tom Forth's Population Around a Point. I know we've talked about it on the podcast before. Super fun tool where you can see population density just by clicking on a point. It gives you a bunch of really cool data. It's fun to use it alongside Roadway Report to kind of see where there are a disproportionate number of deaths versus population density. But in 2021, according to Denver's Vision Zero program, more than a person a day was seriously injured in a traffic accident on Denver's roads. And Roadway Report tells us that one person was killed every 4 days just in the city of Denver.
I think we should we can come up with increasingly ridiculous statistics like that.
Yeah.
Just like one person a day.
Yep. And I've been fixated on Colorado Boulevard in particular because I live my life along this road. I took the 40 bus to work for years. That's the main north-south bus route in East Denver. It runs along Colorado Boulevard. And it's often the first way that I walk to the bus stop, and it'll take me north to the train to get to the airport. It'll take me north or south to the train to get downtown. If I don't want to take any of the direct buses in, which is usually prudent at like rush hour, I hop on the 40. And the 40 is really high ridership compared to a lot of buses in Denver. It's well trafficked. But along its route, just on the stretch of Colorado Boulevard that the 40 runs on, more than 11 people died in traffic between 2020 and 2023. And about half of those were pedestrians or cyclists.
That is unfortunate.
I think this is where you're supposed to make a joke of some sort.
No. About traffic deaths?
About traffic deaths.
I hate
comedy podcast. Comedy podcast.
I don't know. We can workshop it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we're dancing on their graves.
So long before lifted Toyota Tacomas tore down this strip of earth, and it is amazing how many trucks and large vehicles, SUVs, there are in Denver. Denver's really high-income city, so you see a lot of nice new cars, and as you know, cars have just gotten bigger and bigger over the years. But before all of that, it was walked by the Arapaho, Cheyenne, and Ute people, primarily. This is definitely not a forum where we can dedicate the right level of time to the full history of the colonization of Colorado or the United States, but I just think that there's some irony in the fact that this strip of land in particular, maybe not irony, but this strip of land in particular is such a violent strip of land. Before our ancestors came with their technology and their way of living that developed into the society that we see today, people were not dying in these numbers along this strip of land. And I think that that's important to note.
I'm looking at the street. It's terrible. I mean, it is a tragedy. I'm mostly thinking about how, like, it's just, it's so anti person.
Right.
And like, it's just so remarkably dangerous. Like, I am super grateful that there are no streets in Austin that look like this, because that's fucking crazy.
It's intense. It's intense, man. I live two blocks away from it. And it's amazing in Denver how stark the difference is, being on one of the main roads, one of these main arterials that cut through. And there's a full network. It's called Denver's High Injury Network of roads like this. And Colorado Boulevard is the one that I spend the most time along, but I don't think it's the one where most people have died. I'd need to look back into the data, but it's amazing just getting a couple blocks away. The city is engineered to have a ton of throughput on those arterials. And then like two blocks away is like quiet residential paradise. And I know this is true in a lot of cities. There's places in Austin that are like that too, but the contrast is so stark here.
Well, yeah. And then you look at those areas that are essentially, you know, like quiet paradise, and they also have no traffic deaths at all. Despite doing like some volume of transportation support, right?
And in those areas, there's no traffic deaths, right? But I think that's a good transition to highlight the nature of strodes in general, and what makes them so dangerous is not only that they are barriers in our urban environments, and that they are high volume, high speed, dangerous thoroughfares to get through, but they're also more dangerous because all of the city's amenities are located off of these thoroughfares, right? So there's all these conflict points. Trader Joe's, I live a block from Trader Joe's, which is right on Colorado Boulevard. There's several King Supers, which are the Kroger grocery stores in my area along Colorado Boulevard. There's a ton of parks. There's tons and tons of businesses. There's a ton of intersections with other large strodes, at which are gas stations and fast food restaurants and the normal car-oriented infrastructure that we see in these types of urban environments. And the contrast of that against some of the lovely residential areas and parks that are just a couple blocks off of the main road is just stark. There's definitely two worlds.
I don't know. I think about a world where, in response to our transportation woes, we spent money with like maintaining a proper streetcar network, and we didn't. I mean, it's sort of hard to say in hindsight that we should have done the right thing, right? With the benefit of hindsight, because it's not illogical, the whole, you know, like, oh, there's not enough space, there's too much traffic, we need more lanes. Like, yeah, that's not really a stretch, right? But then there's this counterintuitive fact that, like, oh, well, this is beyond a threshold of inefficiency such that it can't, there is no way to make this compatible with the urban environment. But I don't know. I'd love to live in a world where we spend money busing. It would just save so many lives. Like, you just look at a street like this, right? And it's like, oh, well, you make it completely impossible to do anything but drive. It's just such a catastrophic set of incentives.
It is. And it's a conscious decision that we continue to make and continue to allow for drivers' convenience and saving seconds in a commute and a trip across town being valued above the lives of working people, and disproportionately working people, not all working people, it's everyone, the lives of anyone outside of a car, but people outside of cars are working people. They're people that don't have access to a motor vehicle by and large in a city like Denver and most of the cities in the US.
Right. True that.
And it's not inherent. I hear some imply that it's inherent to like a grid-based system, right? That pre-building code development in old cities you know, like London and things like that are inherently safer. And in a lot of ways they are, but Denver was a city that was built along a streetcar network. That is how the city developed, and they ripped that streetcar network out. And this is definitely fodder for a whole other episode that we can get into, but it wasn't always like this. That's something that I like to highlight about Denver. Is everyone says, oh, well, Denver is a young city, so I mean, they just built it for the cars. And that's just not true. Certainly after definitely World War II and the expansion of the federal center and the huge ballooning of a ton of federal and military jobs in the Denver metro area, which caused a boom in the 50s and the population to explode, that part of the city was definitely built for cars. But all of the city that had developed before then, which is a huge geographic area that had a ton of population at the time, was not built for cars. We consciously decided to rip out all that infrastructure. So, you know, I sit here and I think maybe in 50 years, 100 years, maybe we'll have the gumption to make decisions to change the city again. It gives me some hope knowing that it wasn't always like this, and it's more depressing in some ways knowing that it wasn't always like this and that it was purposefully decided to be more violent than it was before.
Well, it's all brand, baby. That's the power of brand. Cars are the future. In the future, we're all going to get around in cars, and they're going to drive themselves, and no one's going to die. And they're going to talk to the traffic lights with V2X technology. Right, and it's all going to be autonomous, and it's all going to be wonderful, because cars are the future, and we don't pay attention to the environmental degradation, or the mass casualty events, or the weekly mass casualty events all over the world. Cars are the future, and we're gonna solve all the problems about it. Don't worry about that. Cars are the future, and they are deeply intertwined with your masculinity, your rugged, hot, sexy masculinity, your big, big old truck, baby. It's the symbol of the truck and like manhood in our society has really struck me lately, because in Texas, pretty much like 80% of men have a truck. And it's like, especially I've been riding my bike in these really rich neighborhoods, And it's like 100% of men have an enormous truck. And it's no longer the symbol of working class masculinity that it once was. You know what I mean?
It doesn't serve a real utilitarian and potentially masculine purpose, which was to provide for a family by doing some sort of labor. Instead, it is just a class signifier and a giant metal box that serves no purpose beyond picking up a cheeseburger. I read recently that 80% of men drive enormous trucks in Texas, and 80% of men have tiny penises in Texas as well.
Now, that's true. That's true. You know, the hardest part about riding an electric scooter is your horse cock dragging on the pavement.
I've often remarked that.
Not a
myself.
Lot of people know that.
Indeed. No, but I think that's an extremely salient.
Oh my God.
That's an extremely salient point that you just made about the branding of cars and the fact that they have been branded as the future for, I mean, going on 100 years, maybe more than that at this point, certainly post World War II, with the development of suburbs and really the development that has dominated our world since then. But it's changed now, right? Because it's, and I guess it probably felt the same back then. It was like about high technology and things that the layperson didn't totally understand. I think that that's definitely the case with autonomous vehicles. And I think there's this sense of like, oh, don't worry, the capitalist overlords will figure it out. The technocrats are going to figure it all out. Don't worry, it won't kill people. This is the future. Don't worry about it. You don't need to think about how your communities are going to change as a result of this technology. Just let us take control. That's one thing that I think is huge in our world. Go ahead.
You guys aren't living in Waymo's future. I'm living in it. I am interacting with the urban environment and the Waymos. Like, I basically live in the city center, right? And the Waymos only operate in like a small section of the city, but it's basically the whole part of the city that I go. So I'm in all that training data because Austin was the first city they deployed in. So, like, I'm probably one of the most common cyclists, like, clocked by in their database.
And for those of you that don't know, Waymos are the self-driving taxis that get people around Austin.
They're everywhere, man. Do you guys have them?
No, we do not. There may be some, like,
so you don't walk around and see self-driving cars everywhere?
No, just regular pig-driven cars.
No. So the self-driving cars are much better at driving. Sometimes it's a little scary because they do something like sort of too human, like pull out a little too quick or like, but usually they appear to be like very prudent and like they won't try to hit you because they have radar and humans don't have radar.
Humans don't have radar.
So like even if it's nighttime, it knows where you are as like a biker.
That's better. And it doesn't have any will to kill you, at least not yet.
Right, and that is true that 90% of Americans would kill a cyclist if given the opportunity, and they knew they could get away with it.
90% of those people also have tiny penises.
That's true. 100% of listeners of our podcast have enormous horse cocks.
It's true.
Oh, goodness. Did you want to talk about... these responses to this traffic death,
because
that touched on something that I've really been thinking about lately too.
Yeah,
and that's like the way the language people use in response to this stuff.
Yeah, Ben's referring to a tragedy that happened in my community last month. It happened second week of April, I believe. It was about 2 blocks from my house on Colorado Boulevard. I guess it's like 4 blocks from my house. It's like 2 blocks to Colorado, and it's about 4 blocks down. There was a 60-year-old gentleman named Dennis Sanchez. He was cycling on Colorado Boulevard. And as you know, listener, Colorado Boulevard is not a place that is safe to cycle. There's no biking infrastructure. In this particular area, there are some wider sidewalks, but they're inconsistent. And I have to cross this road often on my bicycle. If ever I'm going anywhere west of my house, which is anywhere downtown, so lots of great places that I like to go, parks, businesses, just areas, you know, going for a bike ride, I have to cross Colorado Boulevard. And a lot of the crossings at Colorado are staggered, so the intersection roads jog a little bit. So a lot of times, you know, if you're crossing and you can time it, you will ride on Colorado Boulevard north-south a little bit while you're doing it. But I've read a couple of different reports saying that this was a motorcyclist that he collided with or a car that he collided with, but both reports that I read said that he swerved from one lane into another and was clocked by the vehicle and killed pretty much instantly in the crash. This is the exact same spot, looking at the data on Roadway Report, it's the exact same spot that a pedestrian was killed by a Lexus 430 on March 7th, 2020. And in that earlier incident, that fella blew a .223, which is like 3 times the legal limit, but it's not anywhere near some of the folks we talked about last week on the Drunk Driving Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's that peon will never know what it's like to be in the Drunk Driving Hall of Fame.
Exactly. He's like, not even tenfold. Come on, man. Get your drinking up. But at the end of the day...
You have to be 4 times drunker.
At the end of the day, no one deserves to die just because they are crossing the street inebriated. And this is clearly a spot in the city that causes people to die. And it's tough that this spot is so close to my house. And it's sad and scary to know that myself and my wife and my friends and my neighbors all try to cross this road on pretty much a daily basis. So Anyway, in both of these cases, the social media discourse surrounding the reports of the incidents really does reveal just how deeply car-brained our society is. I'll let Ben read this first response. One of our local news reporters, Chris Hansen, posted an Instagram story of this. So this is where we pulled these responses from. So Ben, you want to read what Alex Paz 1988 had to say?
Yeah, it says, register your bike and put a license plate on it, and then we can share the road.
Be the Bush 338 says, oh, go ahead.
The road is not a playground. And another one, it says, start making cyclists register their bikes like we do our cars. Use the fees to cover making them a lane. It's just, oh, Jesus Christ, it pains me. It's If the fucking average fucking dipshit knew how subsidized their stupid fucking roads were by the rest of us, it's like, it's just such an enormous percentage of the amount of tax revenue that comes from me goes to roads.
Yep. That comment in particular highlights...
And I can't use any of them.
Exactly. That comment in particular highlights what I say a lot, which is that we've been divorced from any political will because we don't even have a political understanding of how our city functions economically. This person is... like, really trying. This person is trying to find a solution that will allow people to have a bike lane, right? But making cyclists register their bikes, charging them even more than they already disproportionately contribute to roads that they don't use is absolutely absurd. And it's sad that Jilly Beans 80, while having good intentions here, is actually just a fucking idiot and doesn't... This is sort of whatabouting the real problem here. So you want to read the last two?
Right. It's like all of the car stay off the streets and then cars will always win. I like the last one. That one's funny.
Yeah, that one really got me because
I've been starting flame wars commenting cars are for the weakest people in society on every like traffic crash Reddit thread.
This one really got me because I didn't know exactly what the tone was. Was the tone like sad, like, oh, cars will always win, like, poor guy? Or was it cars will always win? Guy fucking deserved it. Either way, not great. And
no, I
bleak.
Think it's like, it's just like a warning. It's just like, look, if you're gonna go on the street, car always win. Mm-hmm. And that's true.
It's true.
That's true. It's true. Stay off the streets, though. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, like...
You get out of the road, pussy.
Exactly.
You stay out of the street.
I have as much right to get around my community as anyone. Definitely more than you. Screw you.
Yeah, you're weak. You're weak and dumb.
It's true. And
I'm stronger than you, even though I'm wearing tights. No, I had some comments that I wanted to share. So there's this video I found from the Jersey City Reddit, which is a red flag right away, right? And the video is of, it's like the video starts right after a guy on a like e-bike, it's like a delivery driver, gets hit by a car. And then the video starts and the guy who hit him comes up to him. He's like, hey man, what the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with you, you stupid asshole? And then he like bends over him and he's like giving him the business. Like, you dumb piece of shit. Fuck you.
Damn.
And then all the comments are just like deeply unhinged. Like the one that really broke me was this one. It was this is a very like upvote positive comment. It says, most of the time when a bike or scooter rider gets into an accident with a car, it's usually the rider's fault. Downvote me if y'all want, but the way bikers and scooter riders behave in this city is just as bad as the drivers. And then the next comment is, they are way worse. Going the opposite way of traffic and busting a last-second turn with no warning is standard operating procedure. I wish riders would end up like the jerk-off in the video and serve as a deterrent of this behavior to others.
Jesus. That's heavy.
And then I responded, cars are for the weakest people in society. And I have 20 downvotes.
It's... Really?
But it's just like, well, these, who are these fucking idiots?
It's like,
who is this stupid?
It's like saying,
everybody.
Oh,
it turns out everybody.
You showed up to the fight with a knife and you got shot. Knives are really more dangerous than guns. Absolutely fucking stupid.
Nah, man. No. So it's like, yeah, America's probably a lost cause.
I mean, at least New Jersey is.
We can leave them behind. Same, I got banned from the Jacksonville, Florida subreddit too for commenting on one of their traffic deaths. So Jacksonville's off the list. Sorry if you're from there. And anyone from even Jersey City, my favorite part of Jersey. I'm sorry, but you're off. You're off the list.
Yep.
You're not allowed at the company party.
Yeah. There are some people out there that seem to understand the plight of the biker and the political situation a little bit more deeply. I really appreciated this comment on Dennis Sanchez's death post from Same Hazors. I don't know exactly how to say that, but they said, "We need a new law that requires motorists to adhere to certain speeds and stop at lights meant to be stopped at and look out for pedestrians before making a turn or maybe even using some sort of signal before turning, and maybe they should have to be sober while driving." Oh, fucking wait. That made me feel better to see that written, because legislating rules around this is not going to solve the problem. There are already rules for drivers, and any rule that's added, any legislation of this type, is just a fucking lie. And it makes us feel better. It makes us think that we're doing something to improve safety, and it makes drivers feel better. But we already have these in place. It's a fundamental infrastructural and cultural failure, and it's not going to be solved by requiring motorists to do anything, because motorists are going to do what the built environment implies that they should.
Right, like 100% of Austinites drink and drive. There yeah. isn't a single person in Austin, Texas, who doesn't drink and drive. I don't know why. I think it's because every business is a bar and every person is a car, and it all works out, man. The what's cool about that actually is drunk drivers are much more careful
because they don't want to get in trouble.
And we need to legalize it. They don't want to get in trouble. You get pulled over regular, what? Write me a ticket, copper, come on. But drunk driving is a serious crime.
It's true. To finish out our
report. No, I mean, I really am. I'm sickened. I'm completely sickened by the language that it tends to bubble up when a regular person is killed by a car. And it's almost always like a fucking low-income person. It's like an elderly person on a fixed income trying to cross the street, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, of course they don't deserve to die. It's like, oh, a working person on an e-bike trying to make a living. It's like, what a fucking idiot. They should be killed. I wish more of them would die.
Yeah, we should hang them from the porch like a coyote so the other coyotes will know to stay away. It's like, fuck you.
I wish every driver would die in a car accident. How about that, fatty?
Oink, 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 oink.
Fuck you. Yeah, oink for it. Oink for it, pig boy. Fuck. I fucking hate cars, man.
Yeah. This last...
And it's like, it's not even the... I love, there are drivers in my life who I love, but it's like you have to cross Colorado Boulevard every day and you become a deeply irritable, fucked up little goblin person. And it's like, it's this big loud thing that's a daily direct threat to my health and safety. And so naturally I hate cars.
Of course. I think this last comment, this was actually on the Reddit post that I read, really kind of summed up the sadness for me. They said, "I passed by today and I could see him dead in the middle of the road. I saw just one car in the area, so I assumed he was either a pedestrian or a cyclist. Driving around on such a beautiful day and all of a sudden you see somebody dead and full of blood is horrific. I started shaking instantly. You all be careful out there. Cycling on such big roads is without a doubt a bad idea, but even walking sometimes on the sidewalk of big roads can be dangerous. Denver is not a city to enjoy taking a walk on a big boulevard sidewalk, unfortunately. End of the comment there. And it's just, this person is become a believer in the fact that you shouldn't cycle through the city. You shouldn't cycle on, quote, such big roads. And they've gone so far as to even feel like walking down the street, and there are a ton of businesses in my neighborhood that are right along Colorado Boulevard, and there are a ton of people that walk down those sidewalks. And to say, to read that my city is not a city to enjoy taking a walk on a big boulevard sidewalk just makes me so sad. And part of me is like, I mean, she's fucking right. And it's just heartbreaking to me that we accept this
status quo. This is designed so you can't walk here.
Yeah, or you shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people are quick to do what they think is necessary to like protect themselves, but they're not particularly quick to get involved in political activities.
Yeah, it's true. And at the end of the day, nobody deserves to die trying to cross the road. And this is me feeling some pride and protection about my neighborhood, right? I don't want anyone to feel unsafe. I don't want anyone to feel like they can't walk or bike through my neighborhood, because in so many ways, my neighborhood is lovely. You get off of Colorado Boulevard and you go east to the park, or you go west on the other side of Colorado Boulevard to some of the old streetcar infrastructure. They're some of my favorite businesses in the city, some of the best parks, some of the best streets to bike on. It's just sad, and I wish that our community would wake up, because no one deserves to die just crossing the street, and everybody deserves to enjoy the city that they live in, because we have to live in the world, and I just wish that we could look this in the face and make things a little bit nicer for everybody.
Yeah, driving everywhere all the time is kind of a bummer. And climate change sucks.
That too.
It's just such a multifaceted fucking steaming pile of shit. It's we can't even go outside. I clown on people. It's like, how cucked can you be to never go outside? Like, what the fuck? It's not even like there's really anything wrong with them. It's like, well, outside just isn't very pleasant.
Simulations of outside are way more enjoyable than outside. Like Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, when outside is just a freeway and not a deli. Come on.
Yeah. You want to take a crack at this Alex Jones text that I wrote for you in closing to this segment?
Maybe at the end. Maybe at the end.
I know your roommates are home.
I don't know. The government! The government can't stop us!
I'm proud of what I wrote, and I really want to hear it in your Alex Jones voice. So that's my position on this. So,
okay, well, I don't know. Maybe I can record it later.
Yeah, 100%.
When everyone's out of the house.
Yeah, that means I wrote something good.
Because this is good. This is a good text. This is a good text.
And take it or leave it. Make edits to fit your Alex Jones voice.
It's all working people. But. It's all working people, man. Like, the real symbol of working class freedom and independence in the city is, like, the bicycle, the e-bike, the electric scooter. You know, it is the freedom of movement without the imposition of violence onto the environment and the people around you and the people you love in your community. The scooter is liberation. And it's okay to be unapologetically positive about electric scooters and micromobility. It's not gay anymore, is what I'm trying to say.
The future of the scooter is one that I can get behind. It's one that I can believe in, and one that empowers our communities and empowers working people and is safer and more free than a world of and a future of automobiles.
On the docket for this week, zoning at...
Are we done?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't publish anything last week, so I'll edit that up too, and I'll just publish one episode.
Cool. Yeah, I'm sure that there's enough between these two. I feel like we had more substantive and funny conversation this week, but I'm sure there's something from last week that's usable.
Yeah, LBP. LMB that LBP, as I like to say. No, I want to continue improving the site. Like, I want to import some of the older data, because I never even processed the spreadsheets from 1975 to 2000. And they don't have location data, but we could still look up like each individual crash report by like county and day and stuff like that, and read all about them. So like, I need to do that. Other than that, I'm just trying to get some rest. It's been a long, long month.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can bring some fun, like, I'll bring some really funny car crashes next week, okay?
Okay. I think we should get...
We haven't even fucking broached the 11 fatality, 70 injury crash in Vancouver.
We talked about it last week, but we haven't really
like
gone
some
there.
Of the... It's a, I just can't believe how many people you can hit with one car. How many people did Stephen Paddock get? Like, how many cars would you need to do a... Never mind. How many 911s is that? One plane or 10 cars or one hotel room full of guns next week on the Roadway Report podcast. Are you into bus stuff?
Stay tuned and send us your feedback. Send us the tragedies that are happening in your community. Maybe we can bring some light to them. If there's anything we can do to support you out there, we got to stick together,
maybe
listener.
Maybe we can make fun of your, send us your traffic deaths and we'll clown on your dead loved ones.
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll dab on them. Lovingly.
With nothing but love, listener. Nothing but love. Signing off from Denver, Colorado. Be
nothing
safe.
But love.
Don't
nothing
cross
but
Colorado
love.
Boulevard unless you have to.
Don't get hit by a car, people. We cannot accept this in our communities. Dennis Sanchez did not deserve to die. And neither do the thousands of other people that are killed by cucked, libtard, Lincoln Log engineer babies. It's time we look their violence in the face and fight back against a status quo that values the convenience of the rich over the lives of the poor. It's time we take our cities back. A man doesn't need a two-ton vehicle. A real man puts his livelihood on his back. He gets around using his own power. He isn't infantilized by the government. He goes out and he rides the bus. He rides his bike. And he keeps his eyes on the streets of the community. Trust no one and protect all. He is you. You are me. I am him. We are all Dennis Sanchez. And if we don't stand against the lies they keep telling you, our ancestors are going to be angry. Our ancestors who farmed land and kept animals and subsisted for thousands of years on their own ingenuity and their own strength. They're going to see us as the little babies we are. And when we meet them, it won't be pretty. So do you want to make your grandfathers proud? Or do you want to ride around your nursery in a two-ton Wally chair all day, suckling at the teat of a fascist nursemaid? I want glory. I want to rise up and leave a better world for my children and my children's children. Be brave, warriors. The gooners will be free. You heard it here first, baby. It's the truth bomb.
Comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast
about roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast
about roadway deaths.
Get yourself together. It's a certified fucking good time. Yeah.